Thank you for coming to my website. Today is Saturday, November the 26th, 2011, in the United States of America in Los Angeles, California. This is PJ here in the Lucy Coleman studio. On a holiday weekend, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I have tons of papers to grade. Looking forward to doing that. I had a thought. I want to share it with you. And I think it's an interesting thought, one that should be listened to. I want you to tell me what I think about it. I had a very disturbing time last night. A very disturbing time last night because what I did is I had a conversation with a dear friend of mine that I love an awful lot, that I put a lot of time and energy and everything into. But something weird has been happening. And I think that this is basically customary amongst many African-American evangelicals. They do this. I don't think that... Wait a minute. I'm working on two projects here. Okay. There we go. There we are. Now let me go back to this. Yeah. I'm just working on a lot of things right now, and let me say this. Have you ever, all right, as an educated black man, a man with an earned master's degree, now, you know, that was a feat and a half for me because I had to go to school 20 years at night, 20 years of night school in order to garner a degree. And that's not my first degree. I have three degrees from going to school in the early years of my life. And God has blessed me with the ability to teach as a philosophy instructor. I'm not the best in the world. I'm not published. I don't want to publish. I don't have that desire. I have a tremendous love for every student that I teach in the classroom, regardless of their nationality. I'm a teacher from my heart, and I'm a thinker. I like to think that I've been a thinker for years. I've thought premises through. I don't practice consensus. I will never practice consensus. I will not try to agree with anyone because it makes them feel better. I can give a rat's whatever about how anyone feels about anything if I know what I'm talking about. I kind of view myself as Socrates of old. You know, when he was giving out certain information to his peers, the young men of his day, enlightening them and his society. The government, if you will, try to stop him. His friends try to encourage him to, you know, compromise his ethics and to agree with the population because they'd kill him. They knew that they would kill him. Well, he wouldn't. I kind of like that idea about Socrates, and I in no way see myself as a mind that was as great as his, but I'm born in 1944. It's now 2011. I've been living a heck of a long time. And I have students that I've taught over the years. Students that I've invited into my home, into my life, into my private quarters. In other words, these people see the way I live. They know who I am. I have shared certain things with some of these students and friends of mine. They know intimately about my life, who I really am. I won't get into any particular names right now because that's not important, but people that know PJ up close know that PJ is not going to hide anything about his life to them. I don't hide from people. What you see is what you get. I am who I am. I am not the smartest guy in the world. I think that I've said that before, and at the same time, I'm not the dumbest cat in the world. So here I am. Like it or not, I'm in this zone. I am a teacher of faith in God from the perspective of the Western Christian mindset. In other words, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe that there is life after death. I believe that there is a place called heaven. And I believe that I am headed towards that place, not based upon any works or anything that I'm doing. I believe that God has a tremendous love for me. I don't know why. And he has infused me with a certain wisdom. I've been alive since 1944. Now, here's my problem. Through all the education, through all the teaching, through all the lessons that I've given to, it's been a magnificent amount of students over the years. And some of these students have kind of like strung out on their own to do what I do. Poorly, they've done it poorly. They haven't been able to complete the task because God does not give each and every one of us these kind of talents. Let me give you a good example of what I'm talking about. I have one of the young men that stay with me, Mario. He's a very talented poet. I don't know how he does it. He sits down, he writes beautiful stuff. The stuff just flows. And when he says it, it's so dynamically true. You may not like his style. P.S., tap into his picture on the website. He's just publishing his brand new book, and I put one of his poems up. I can't do that. I'm not a poet. I wouldn't try to be a poet. I wouldn't try to tell him that he doesn't know what he's doing. It moves me when I hear it, not because he stays with me. Not because of that, but because of the gift that God has given him to talk about his culture, his society, during a day and age that he's living in. I have two young men about the same age staying with me. Very difficult for them to make it. Man, to buy a car and to have a rented apartment and to have money to do that in this generation coming up, they won't be able to do that. The economy is so closed the door in their faces that unless they're born with a silver spoon in their mouths for the next 10, 15 years, it's going to be tremendously difficult for them to accomplish what I accomplished when I was a young man. I'm aware of that. So here I am, a black man, well-degreed, AA, BA, MA, okay? 3 earned professional degrees. 1 in governmental supervision and management, another one in philosophy, and another one in theology. Like I said, over 20 years of my life dedicated to teaching, to thinking, to reading, to analyzing. Now all of a sudden, the students that take theology with me, now that I'm coming to the point of my little thing here before I sit down, and I have in front of me a stack of papers because my Philosophy 1 students had to read Plato's The Apology and write me an essay to which they will be given. If they wrote it the way I explained it to them, they will get 300 points in this semester as we come to a close. I have to grade academically these papers, not only these papers in Philosophy 1, but in world religions. They have a paper. They watched the movie Luther, and they had to write a paper, a critical analysis of that paper. Why did I choose Luther for the world religions class? Because Christianity is the religion of the state of the United States. At least it was. It was in the old school. We have no religion in this country now. Absolutely not. And in the ethics class, they are writing me a paper. Let's see, what movie did they see? I almost forgot here. let me check. I got so much because I don't want to lose my train of thought here. They're writing me a paper on a movie that they saw. And one was The Enigma of the Swastika. Oh, yes. I showed them the Marjo film, Marjo Gardner, the fake preacher. And they had to write an ethics paper to let me know what was ethically crazy, not only about this Marjo Gardner guy, but the people that was following him. Now, that's the kind of work that I do as a philosopher. I show them because I have a background of philosophy and religion, earned degrees from prestigious institutions of higher learning. These are not degrees like these fake pimp preachers get out of paper mills. This is from going to school at night and during the day. I know absolutely, listen to me, I'm coming somewhere with this. I know absolutely nothing about the history of the Lakers. I know nothing about the history of practically any sporting event, because during that time, while I was a young man, I was in school. I was in night school. I would work a full 8-hour day, 8.5-hour day at the job, rush home, eat a quick meal, rush right off to some college or some university. I did that for a number of years, and that took an awful lot of discipline while I was supervising the pastorate of a small but growing and influential Baptist church, heading a radio ministry. Now, I'm doing what any other professional white guy would do if he wanted to progressively move up and do something for his community. And I want you to listen to me, because I'm going to end up this ploy by letting you know how black people treat me today after all that I've done. And that's the dilemma that I'm faced with now, because I want to have nothing, absolutely nothing to do with any student of mine that will not take under consideration the work that I have done to argue with me about anything that I know that I'm talking about. I find it utterly repulsive. And I'm just making this statement public. I'm going viral with it on the internet, because I want everyone to know. If any of you, listen to me, I don't mind you disagreeing with the premise of mine, but if you're going to disagree with my premise, I want you to take the premise, and I want you to prove my premise wrong, forthwith my conclusion must be wrong. But for you to argue with me because you don't know what you're talking about and you feel like an imbecile, I would ask you to get back into some kind of institution of higher learning to get a grip on reality. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I know absolutely nothing about physics, chemistry, algebra, trigonometry, and political science. I hated political science when I took it in college. I can care less about it. I don't know what makes the economy go. I don't know what make it stop. I don't even care. I have to. Now, who cares? As long as they hire me and pay me and I'll work, fine. If they don't hire me and if they don't pay me, I hope I have enough collateral in some of this junk that I've accumulated over the years to trade it in and live off of it a few more months until the whole blooming thing crashes. That lets you know that I know that I'm ignorant of certain things in certain areas in my life. And I don't have difficulty with that ignorance. I don't want to know about that. But when you talk to me and I make a statement about something that I know, because I've been here since 1944, maybe a little bit before that, because when I was conceived in my mother's womb, I was growing for almost a year there, and I was living off of her body motions and fluids and everything else, which influenced me. And I think that I have a pretty sharp mind up until this date. But when I run into somebody that's not quite, well, let me put it this way, not quite 38, not quite a good 40, haven't done anything academically achieving, but wants to fuss and argue with me about something they don't even know what I'm talking about. That has begun to frustrate me completely. Frustrate me to no end. I'm at that time in my life where I don't have to listen to it. Let me share with you how it makes me feel. It makes me feel like vomiting. And I become so outraged on the inside that this person has so disrespected myself. No, I will not affirm something that is ridiculous. Now, let me share with you something, okay? And I'm not going to get into the stark raving details, but I'm just going to take a little bit into, excuse me, past 24 hours, not even 24 hours, maybe the past 12 hours of my life where this particular incident took place. And it started off cordially as a how are you and how is your weekend? That's cool. And if the person listens to it, they know what this is all about. I'm just making a general statement to everybody, all my friends, everybody that comes to my website, to let you know that if I no longer am your friend, or if I don't have a friendship with you, that doesn't bother me, because I have a friendship with God Almighty. That's all I need. And I don't have to listen to anyone. But someone was asking me something about my particular feelings about another person. And they made a classical error by telling me that I made a decision to take an attitude because of something that this other person did or did not do. I immediately told the person that they were out of line for making such a rash judgment, because they know nothing about the situation, because I've shared nothing. And the person was insistent upon telling me that no, I was wrong, and that I think the thing that was used, it takes two to tangle, that it takes two people to make a decisive error. And I was telling this person, no, it takes one, and it takes the other one to be enlightened to that error and to get the hell out of a relationship with that person if they're married, if they don't have to stay in it. Then this person went on to tell me that no, you know, to the sense that this person is obligated to stay with the disaster. Let me tell you something. See, this is what exasperated me. For those of you that are married, if you would ever try to tell somebody that the person that you married, you never had a disagreement with, you would be a bald-faced lie. And when you are married, if you never thought about the possibility of exiting out of that marriage, and if you said that you never thought about that, you're a bald-faced lie again. Yes, you have. Because there's times within any relationship when you just had it with the other person. Jesus himself spoke about that. He said, is it not a strange thing that a man should leave his father and mother and to cleave to his wife? It's strange. That kind of thing is not supposed to happen. You just don't, I don't care whether you in a straight relationship or a unstraight relationship, you're going to have some difficulties with anybody that you stand with that's a human being. Sometimes you're going to wake up, you're going to want to, you know, curse them out, talk them out, just get in your car and go driving and get away from them. Now, especially if the person is bringing some kind of harm to you in some kind of way. And that's why I'm breaking off all relationships with people that argue with me, because it's kind of like a marriage that I've had with these people over the years. Okay, I love you. You love me. Okay, respect me, right? Heck no. I'm gonna challenge you everywhere I can, because I'm just as good as you are, even though you have 3 degrees. I'm just as good as you. You just as black as me. You stupid as me. Don't try to come across that. No, I'm not as stupid as you. When you have a degree of education in some kind of professional, I gotta say, it's a shame that I have to say this to African American people, because I think sometimes my brothers and sisters have lost their minds. I didn't go to school for 20 years at night just to sit on my butt and to go around in circles with somebody that doesn't know the advantage, that's the word, the advantage of thinking critically about everything. Number one, God has never told you by anyone like you in any way, and I know the nature of God. I've been under his influence for most of my adult life. All right? And I believe in a literal, tangible God. Now, I've been under that influence for most of my adult life. And God has never, ever told me in anywhere in the Bible, in the book, anywhere, that I am forced to stay with someone that I can no longer, as an adult, stand to be around because it poses a danger to my health and to my mental health. I'm not talking about if you have a loved one that you married, that you love, and they get sick and for you to dump them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you both healthy, wealthy, and wise, and all of a sudden you tell a person to stop. To stop doing something. Stop doing that to me. And the person keeps doing it to you. Now you listen to me. The person keeps doing it to you. You trying to hold it in. You trying to make the thing go. You keep telling the person, stop doing this to me. And that person keeps doing it to you. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay there and let that person keep doing that? Or are you going to go to some kind of psychologist and spill your guts before some other stupid human being that has the same kind of difficulties in their shabby, messed up life? And then they're going to give you Freud's 15 steps to insanity before you vomit. No. You know what you're going to do? You're going to get out of that situation as quick as you possibly can for your mental and physical health. That's what you're going to do. And you're going to consider all of the consequences of what you're doing when you do it. And after you do it, you will never look back. You know you did the right thing. Why? Simply because you have thesis. Thesis is who you are. Thesis will always be who you are. You will never listen to anyone else's antithesis to come against you to try to persuade you that what you did or said was wrong. Especially, now I want to put this cap on it. And if any of you are religious Christians, you call yourselves. I call myself a Christian of the first century type, not the Christian of the 21st century, because that's a bogus piece of crap. I don't do that. Because, see, when you one of those evangelicals of the 21st century type, you're trying to listen to the so-called orchestrators of organized religion to show you how to respond in all of life's circumstances. God, nowhere in the scriptures, has ever told anyone, all right, let's say it. What is the grounds of divorce for the Christian? Okay, your marriage partner has a sexual encounter with another person, all right? Unfaithfulness or adultery. Or you have a fling with another married person. Those are the only two New Testament biblical grounds for divorce, right? I tell you what, did you ever read in the Bible where God says, once you marry a person, regardless of what that person does, you are forced to stay with that person forever? Have you ever read that in the Bible? You show me that verse and I'll quit. It is not there. It is not there because God, in his sovereign love and compassion and care, would never do that to a creature that he created to do that. If he made me to stay in a relationship with someone that is driving me up the cotton picking walls, I would not worship that. I would not even want to be around that, because that is such an aberration. It is called decay in my life. And while and when there is decay in my life, it brings about a decaying effect in my mind, in my body, in my being. That is not the God that I worship. Now, it may be under this organized religion foolishness that you've set yourself under, and you feel like you're a slave obligated to put up with someone else's crapola, if I may. I know, you're thinking, Pastor John, I've always been like this because I have this little question mark in the back of my mind asking myself, why do people do what they do? Why do they come across that way? Why is it that they find themselves getting a headache, listening to somebody else's headache? I don't want the other person's headache. I was talking with a woman not too long ago, and the woman said, she told me this, I couldn't believe it. The woman said that if she was a woman that got me, that she would, I don't want to use the term because I don't want to use it that way, but she would said that she would have the supervision over me to control the way I feel. And I listened to this woman and I said, you don't know who you're talking to. And it's not because I don't care for women that much. Really, I don't. Especially one that would speak to me in that way. And any African-American or white or Hispanic, any female that would speak to me in such a way like that, you have to know that I'm not accustomed to being spoken to by a woman telling me that she is in control of the relationship. I'm very quick to tell a female, you're not running nothing when you're around me. Why? Not because I don't think that you're smart and that you're adequate. I think that if you have that disposition, you need to get a henpecked, feminized male that you can run over and step all over and beat down in the bed. Go ahead and get one of them. There's millions of them out there that would love to be with something like you. I'm not that kind of a man. I was raised during a different era. A lot of young adults tell me, well, see, well, your generation, when it dies out, I know you're going to have a generation of wimped out, feminized males who are, you know, letting the women lead them. Let me make this scenario clear. If I ever get married again, and if I married a woman that was making $1 million a minute, and I was only teaching one class in philosophy and barely making it, and she told me to come and move in with her, I said I would only do that if I had no other alternative. But if I came in and moved in with her and married her as a married partner, I don't mean shack with her. I don't mean that. But if I became a married partner with her, it would be under my rules, not hers. Why? Because I told you I follow the bibliocentric mandate, right? And ain't no man got no business following after no woman. Now, just like the Muslims are real strict on their women keeping themselves wrapped up and walking behind them, which I think is a little ridiculous. Well, a lot of American women think that I'm a little ridiculous making a statement like that. But anyhow, I told this woman, I said, I would never have a woman like you. And I told her that's why you would never be able to find an adequate man in your life. And she wanted to continue the conversation. And I told her, you're wasting your time having that conversation with me. Now, some of you men sitting out there, you're saying, oh, see, I know why he's saying that. Because, see, he really don't like. No, you're henpecked. You're henpecked if you let a woman do that to you. Any man that would let a woman use sex in any way to, oh, that is disgusting. That is what that is. And I think that as I look back over the years and I look back at, oh, the male students that's taken theology with me, whenever we come to this particular point in any of our studies and things like that, it always caused a certain amount of difficulty because they were not willing to adjust to that. I found that a lot of these guys that I trained were on their second and third wives. Can you believe that? Second and third wives, and they kept marrying the same kind of daffy women, and these women kept marrying the same kind of goofy guys. So what I do in my philosophy of life is when I speak to people, I kind of run it down. Did you think about the person that you got with before you got with them? Did you consider these characteristics, these traits, or did you just fly off into a sexual frenzy and say, well, it's better to marry than to burn? Is that what it was all about? Is that what it was all about? Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you read that verse of scripture in Corinthians where Paul said it's better to marry than to burn? And it doesn't mean to burn in hell, because a lot of ignorant religious people think that if you have sex outside of marriage that you're going to go to hell. I don't see that in the text anywhere. That text doesn't mean that. It meant to burn with passions. In other words, he's saying it would be best for you to get a partner that you can be with than to burn on the inside with these kind of sexual passions. You see, if I were burning with these passions so much that I had to, I was going out every other weekend getting what I thought that I need. Trust me, friends, I would have a partner right now if I was burning like that. I'm not burning like that. Now, some of you may say, well, why aren't you burning like that? Didn't I tell you earlier that I have had God in my life for most of my adult life? So what am I doing burning constantly with those passions if greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? And let me tell you something. Most of the male students that I have taught in theology over the year have been burning. You get my drift? See? And they know that I have not. And maybe that's why they feel like they have to challenge me. You know, I would ask them to look back on their new birth experience, if you can call it that. I don't know what it is. But look back on that and then analyze from that point where you are today. I can do it. I do it all the time. That's why I'm making this webcast, and I'm trying to make it perfectly clear that if anyone disagrees with me about anything that I say, number one, I'm going to give you a way to work this. Tell me what you disagree with. In other words, tell me what your thesis is against my thesis. That's creating antithesis. And you know what antithesis calls. I teach it in most of my philosophy classes. It causes conflict. See, because I have my position in life. I have my definition in life. And I am determined to live and be who I am. Now, here you're coming. Just going to give you a simple lesson in logic. Because that's another thing this dude did last night. He tried to tell me that my logic was because he's taken a little philosophy. See, and that's what he was doing. He was working out his school assignment on me, trying to argue with me. And I told him, it's ridiculous for me as a teacher of this to argue with you because you're trying to make yourself equal with me. And what they do is they try to weigh their lives against a life like mine. Because I've been successful in marriage, I've been successful in rearing children, and I've been successful in loving other men, young men, helping them in their lives, helping other people, instead of being selfish like most Christians that I know are the most selfish people I've ever heard of in my life. See, in this house, there will be no Christmas tree, not because I don't believe in it. It is because I don't have the money to, and I don't want people to heap gifts on me. I would take it downtown and give it to some people that really needed it. And most Christians would not do that. It's a happy-go-good-lucky time with them. So these people, I'm sick of their challenging of me. Don't challenge me. I want everyone that doesn't know about how to live life to live it. Take the theological lessons that I've given and try to aptly or rightly apply these lessons in your lives. I'm not angry with anyone. Like I said, I have papers to grade. I can't be thinking about the brainstorming religious people that are still playing the same games that they've played since day one that they stepped into my classroom. But I guess what irks me the most is that you have such a disrespect for me that you would constantly try to do that. This is coming from a lot of areas. And I don't know what it has to do with. Maybe it has to do with there are a lack of people like me that will have a conversation with another person. Because most people that are degreed would not even, you know, my students in the philosophy class tells me that most of their college professors don't have discussions with them the way that I have. It was interesting. I was speaking with some people on Thanksgiving Day. We were having a conversation about education and whatnot. And they weren't all black, because I don't have to go around all black people on Thanksgiving. I have other people in my life besides that. They weren't all straight, if you want to put it, because I know a lot of people that ain't straight. See what I mean? And that doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me at all. You're going to find people the way people is, the way people are. And I don't be there trying to get nobody saved or unsaved or nothing. As a matter of fact, I had one person there tell me, don't bring up God. I said, I told you I'm not. It's not my purpose of bringing up God. I said, why is it that whenever you see me? And then you know what I told him? I'm not like those other people. I said, if you don't want to hear about God, and then the person told me why they didn't believe in God, I just smiled. And she said, why are you smiling? I said, it's not important. Because the premise was so weak, and I wouldn't mess up Thanksgiving by going there. See, there's just certain things that when you have a degree of education, you know when to speak and when not to speak. And my silence was more powerful than me saying anything. I wish some of my ex-students would shut up around me, and then it wouldn't be so obvious how stupid they really are. But folk are not going to do that because of pride and ego and everything else. And please don't accuse me of that. I haven't made a webcast all week because I've been busy getting ready to go in for this procedure finally. And I'm hoping and praying that I'll be able to, that my body will be able to function properly when I get off of the operating table. But if it don't function properly, let it be said, let it be done. But anyhow, I hope that you're reading what I'm saying. You people out there, especially those of you that know what accomplishment is, because when you've lived as an older person and you've accomplished something, oh my goodness, I was looking at one of the educational channels things, and they had a chef on, and they were talking about his restaurants that he had, and this chef had a meticulous part about him where his kitchens and all of his restaurants, when he teaches the culinary arts, were clean. Mario and I was watching it last night on the educational channels, and I kept saying to Mario, my goodness, he's just like me. Because when I cook in my kitchen, I clean the utensil, the dish, right after I use it. I'm a clean freak in the kitchen. Everything has to be in its place. You don't just throw, I don't go to a drawer looking for a utensil that's not there. It's supposed to be there because I placed it there. And this chef was like that. And the young man that was interviewing him said, don't you think that's a little weird or strange? And the chef looked at him, because that was a challenge of his thesis, you understand. And the chef looked at him and said, no, it's quite natural what I do. And the guy that was questioning him had this look on his face. Wow. He just ignored me altogether. That's who I am. And I'm kind of glad I watched that after the phone call that I received last night, because then it dawned on me, that's the way you do it, John. Ignore these people altogether. I loved the relationship that I had with people over the years. I would hope that I could retain a relationship with these individuals. But I live my life for me. I don't live my life for other people. If you are disheartened by my disposition, it's time for you to move on. And I'm quite sure that if, as you find your way to move on, you know what I'm going to be doing, teaching in my study the way I have for years, because that is all that God has told me to do. God has always taught me there will always be people that want to know about me. You, John Coleman, will only tell them about me. You will not give them your opinion about anything unless your opinion is philosophy, okay, unless your opinion is outside of this biblical mandate, give them your opinion, which means nothing. But when it comes to me, you're to only say what I've said. God never anywhere told you if you marry a person and that person in some kind of way is harming you, bringing difficulty to you, he never told you that you had to stay with that. If God would ever say anything like that, he would cease to be God. And I said he because he ain't no she. Don't be trying to make the mind of God, God is a spirit, a feminine mind, a mother type that's going to baby and cuddle you and try to make everything work out and so everybody can have a democratic view of life. No. No. I find it interesting that when you look at the Muslims, the Chinese, the Hindus, the American Indians, their folk religion, the Mayans, the Incas, the Brahmins, all those religions, that male leadership, a male dominance, was the preeminent feature. Now, in this day and age, we have switched this thing because we're trying to, like, you know, we're developing all these democratic countries, these democracies. Faith in God is not a democracy, people, where you got that kind of idea in your mind that God is going to try to keep everything equal and so everybody will be happy. Somebody has got to make the decision and somebody has got to follow it. It's like when I was in the army, I had to follow the decisions of my commanders. You don't see no private trying to tell the general, well, I don't think we should attack from that vantage point. I mean, I got just as good as mine as you. The general would look at the private and said, have you gone to officers training school? I don't need officers training school. I'm just as smart as you are. What makes you think you're smart? They would court-martial the fool. Well, the same thing works in my trade. If you haven't accomplished what I've accomplished in life, and what I'm talking about is longevity and a pattern to know what is going to hit you before it hits, you don't talk to me like that. Here recently, a very dear, 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 close family member did that to me, and I told him, I said, for the rest of your life, don't say another word to me about anything. I've also done that to another female member of my family, to wit, to this day, we are not speaking. I don't care whether I ever speak with her, because blood means nothing to me. When you tried to bring your antithesis against my thesis, I'm not going to compromise with you. I'm not coming to synthesis with you. I don't see any necessitation, any determination. I don't see any of that. You're not going to take me out of my tradition of thinking on my own, and nor are you going to try to transition me. You know, that's that stage of taking me through your feelings. You know, I feel like you need to agree with me. That's what that male family member said to me. He said, you hurt me. You make me feel bad. So you need to apologize to me and so I'll feel good. I told this almost 30-year-old guy, you know what? I don't know who raised you, but you are, because that was totally a feminine request coming from him. And I told him, I don't respond to men like that. I said, I'll go to war with you about this. And haven't spoken with him. These are the holiday seasons coming up. You think I'm going to speak with these people? And I'll go out and get me a new set of friends. Absolutely. Listen, I live in Los Angeles, people. Do you know how many people are here? Do you know how many people are like me? A lot of them. You just find the group that's a lot like you. And you know what? Has nothing to do with your loving God. You love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's what the good book teaches, the Bible teaches. You do that. Now, I just thought about something because it is a webcast. And where is it? And I'm looking for it. Ah, here it is. Wait a minute. My office is kind of crowded, and so you forgive me if I didn't have this ready. I'd like to read a section from Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27, starting with verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. Now you have to ask yourself this question. What was Jesus' response to all of this? After they had mocked him, they took a scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify. If you want a good rendition of that, get the Mel Gibson film, The Passion of the Christ. You can see like it's happening in living color right in front of you. Sometimes that is the way some of my students make me feel. Like they've taken me, stripped me, and then beat me. The hatred that you have to treat a person that have taken most of his adult life to live up to the standards of the Word of God is ridiculous what the church has become. And I'm sorry, but when I look at the African American church, the structure of its organizations and the pitiful. That is why when I speak to people that are not religious or Christian and they ask me, "How can you remain a part of that?" And I tell them, I'm not a part of that. And I think that it's impossible to get anyone out of that state of mind unless God Himself frees them. Me? I would rather not have a discussion with you. And with that, I think at 48 minutes and 35 seconds, good enough. Thank you for coming to my website. It's been a while. You know PJ, he's always working on thoughts. And I want you to take these thoughts and I want you to listen to them. For those of you that are true believers, when you have people around you that you've constantly tried to teach and train, and they constantly kick up their heels in your face, but at the same time say that they are what you are, you need to walk, man. You need to get away from that and leave that person where they are. I'm not telling you not to have any relationship with them. I'm just saying that don't take it beyond a friendly hello or goodbye. And then when a person asks you about your private life, just say, "I'm doing fine." And when they ask you anything else, you just say, "Let's change the conversation. I'm doing fine." That's all you need to know about me. I'm doing fine. Let that be the last thing that you've heard before I die. Well, the last thing he told me is he was doing fine. Now, you can try to hypothesize, translate that into any way you want to put it. You can say, "Well, I think he's lying, and all this kind of stuff and have more dialogue with some other your fanciful friends and blah, 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 because that is what the Bible says we ought not do. You understand? We ought not do. But it's not going to do any good because somebody's going to listen to this and misunderstand it altogether. That's all right also because you know what PJ is saying? I'm going to grade these apology papers. God bless you. You know the drill. Everything that you're staying in, you do your best to stay into the Word.